Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Already today, as is natural, our minds have turned to family matters, and especially to the close bond that exists between a mom and her children. But that's not the relationship that we'll find described in the Word of God today. Nor will it be the familial tie between brothers, which, despite the inevitable bouts of sibling rivalry, still tends to remain very close. We're going to look at something even more intimate and tightly knit than that. I'm talking about the deep, committed connection that Proverbs 18:24 describes when it says, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." That's what we see wonderfully illustrated in this 20th chapter of 1 Samuel, the closer-than-brothers relationship between David and Jonathan. Now, let me say that you would do well to develop that kind of friendship while you're here on earth, if you haven't already been blessed with it. And of course, I mean you should seek and develop that in addition to close marital and family bonds, not instead of those things. Such friendships, though, are sadly rare these days, maybe because they require such a sizable investment of time, effort, and openness. Very few, it seems, are willing to actually pay the price. But as you might expect, if you've been paying attention at all during our study of 1 Samuel, I'm not just going to point to those historical details today. I'm going to point you beyond those to an even greater portrait of biblical friendship. Now, this friendship involves the one who, for good reason, is usually the first person we think of when we hear somebody quote that verse, "There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." I'm speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus, who has already proven in myriad ways to be that kind of a stalwart friend to each one of us. So, without ignoring the important life lessons that we can surely draw from this portrayal of brotherly love in the chapter before us, and without denying that Jesus is indeed our exalted God and King, I hope more than anything else today that you'll come away from the Word of God with a deep desire to know, trust, and commune with your divine friend on a daily basis. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to that. I want to say it again. I'm not so much concerned that you find the kind of friend you see portrayed in this chapter, at least among your earthly friends. I hope you have somebody like that. I hope you do find somebody like that. And I hope that you'll become somebody like that, a friend to somebody else. But that's not my main point today. It is rather that we already have a friend who goes beyond even the greatest family or friendship relationship that we could possibly have. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to see how close that bond really is and how much we would benefit by taking full advantage of the friendship that Jesus offers to us. Now, this is another one of those marathon chapters in 1 Samuel. We've gotten used to those, haven't we? And because what God says is infinitely more important than anything that I would say to you, I want you to read the whole thing. You can perhaps do that as we go through this today, but you might want to just wait later on this afternoon or this evening. You can read it all through in a single setting. But let me, for the sake of time, simply present the highlights, summarize the rest, and then do my best, as always, not to shortchange or misrepresent what is said in this broader text. Now, just to remind you first of the historical background of this chapter, David had escaped with Samuel to Naoth, which was a city in Ramah, where there lived a band of prophets. God had repeatedly protected David from Saul, delivered him from every plot hatched, every assassin sent, every spear hurled. Now we read in verse 1 of chapter 20, "David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?' And he said to him, 'Far from it. You shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? It is not so. Well, what explains this rather surprising response from Jonathan, given everything that we've been reading up to this point? Well, the last official word he'd received from Saul, back